Ken Forrester, Executive Director at Momenta. Welcome to our Digital Thread podcast, produced by, for, and about digital industry leaders. In this series of conversations, we capture insights from the best and brightest minds in digital industry. They're executives, entrepreneurs, advisors, and other thought leaders. What they have in common is, like our team at Momenta, they are deep industry operators. We hope you find these podcasts informative. And as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions. Good day and welcome to episode 214 of Momenta Digital Thread podcast series. Today, I'm greatly pleased to host Alessandro Araldi, President, Nokii, and Chief Strategy Officer at Janus International, the $1 billion revenue publicly held global leader in supplying solutions to the self-storage industry. Alessandro brings over two decades of experience featuring a record of innovating and commercializing building technologies on a global scale. He joined Janus from Honeywell International, where he held leadership for high-growth business lines, including Honeywell Building Technologies and Honeywell Security Group. Prior to Honeywell, Alessandro was a partner at CSK Venture Capital in Tokyo, led product management for a mobile microprocessor platform at Texas Instruments, and was a consultant within the telecom and IT practice at the Boston Consulting Group. He is a Master of Science in Electrical and Telecommunications Engineering from the University of Bologna, and a Master of Business Administration from the MIT Sloan School of Management. Alessandro, welcome to our Digital Thread podcast.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you, believe me, given that great background you've got and the great subject matter we can talk about. So, as you know, we call this the Digital Thread podcast. And so we always like to start off with asking you, what would you consider to be your digital thread? In other words, one or more thematic threads that define your digital industry journey.
Yes, sure. So I started my career in the telecom space, developing next-generation mobile network and services. And then I progressed through the semiconductor industry with Texas Instruments, still focused on mobile, developing application processor platform for first-generation smartphone. These were the day before the iPhone, when Nokia and Motorola were still the leading OEMs. And then eventually, I found myself in the industrial IoT space with Honeywell first and now with Janus, with a focus on industrial controls and automation first at Honeywell in the security and life safety space. And today with Janus in self-storage, digitizing the self-storage experience globally. So it's really been about technology, different flavor of technology, but mostly centered around really complex engineer system. And that's really what I'm most passionate about.
I always appreciate diversity in a career. And I think yours is interesting. I'll call it full stack, going that you started off consulting at BCG, running a microprocessor program at TI, to managing partner of a ventures firm, to general manager of Honeywell's Building Technologies business, to, of course, what you're doing at Janus now. I have to ask, to what do you attribute this, I'll call it professional wanderlust?
Yes, I would say it's ultimately simply two things. On the one side, it's a passion for technology and figuring out how you can apply technology to help reshape a user experience in different industries. And at the same time, passion for learning across disparate fields. And really, those two traits have defined my career and led me to choose different opportunities where I could apply new technologies and use them to create new compelling value proposition and business model, but also continue to learn. So those are really the two things that drove me to choose of what on the surface maybe appear to be quite different experiences, but there is sort of this common thread that brings them all together.
Well, I like to use the term full stack for those people who have literally lived all parts of, I'll call it the technology stack, but you've also have this interesting aspect of coming from a consulting background and, of course, venture capital. So as a venture capital firm ourselves, I always appreciate people whose journey has led them to through or to the trade, as it were. So you were managing partner at CSK Venture Capital and in Tokyo, Japan, of all places, from 2006 through 2010. What attracted you to venture capital and what were some of the highlights and lessons learned from the time?
Sure. Well, first of all, what attracted me to even Japan before a venture capital is my wife. My wife is Japanese. We met in business school, and after getting married, we decided that we wanted to spend a period of our life in Japan. And so we moved from the US to Japan, and I'd always been interested in entrepreneurship, and I have a great deal of respect and admiration for entrepreneurs. My father was an entrepreneur. He started one of the very first schools to teach computing in Italy in 1969. These were the days where you still had punch cards and the large floppy disk. And I remember my brother and I growing up and going to school and helping my dad with anything in the company, you know, between promoting the company, setting up machines, anything that was needed. And that experience, again, led me to kind of develop this great admiration for entrepreneurs and respect for all the challenges that they go through on a daily basis. So when I moved to Japan and the opportunity presented to join CSK Venture Capital to lead their portfolio of investment outside of Japan, I jumped at the opportunity. I would say the biggest learning from that experience is, you know, maybe twofold. The one specific to venture capital is the complexity in developing a robust deal flow. This was a particular challenge for me being in Japan, but investing outside of Japan and trying to sort of craft a value proposition for our firm in investing with other firms, or just to being able to attract entrepreneurs to partner with us. And at the same time, I think it also helped me, this whole experience, develop a sort of an acute sensitivity for all the things that really have to go right in a venture investment to succeed, which is something that really helped me later on in my career to pay attention to all different aspects of a business, right? From people to strategy to value product and so on. So those are sort of the key learnings and lesson learned that I took away from that experience and that continue to help me throughout my career.
It's a great answer. A common misnomer from those who are outside of venture capital is that it's all about the investments. And in reality, I think you hit on the bigger points, and that is a good solid deal flow to find those great investments and then post-deal value creation. And never underestimate the amount of work that post-deal value creation creates, because, you know, you often take board positions. If nothing else, you're mentoring those founders, right? They're your investment, right? And yes. And helping out in every aspect of the business. And so it's probably the part that it often is underrated relative to the what separates successful VCs from those, you know, also runs as well. So great to hear those lessons are well embedded. Now, I know you spent almost 12 years at Honeywell across their security and business technology business lines. Tell us a bit of your remit at the company and of what you are most proud.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, Honeywell, it's truly a fantastic company. It's probably a place where I learned the most throughout my career. I also spent the most amount of time so far. It's the largest, maybe most people don't know this, it's the largest industrial company by market cap, and really a fantastic sort of forming ground for aspiring business leaders. I started in what is called strategic marketing, which is a combination of more traditional marketing and strategy in the security group. Eventually became the global CMO for that business, and then evolved into a large product management role, and eventually into a GM role for a portion of the fire life safety business. And my entire career at Honeywell has been with what used to be called Automation and Control Solution, and today is called Honeywell Building Technologies. So really developing control automation and building technologies and industrial IoT. I think that the biggest, again, maybe the biggest sort of thing that I learned is how to look at and effectively manage a business, so really understand the different levers, the economic of the business, and maybe tying back to the question before, paying attention to kind of all the different aspects of the business. And that's something that I really developed an incredible passion for, this idea of being able to take a business and make it better over time and seeing growing and flourish is something that I'm really passionate about.
You know, what makes the role particularly interesting during that time, especially relative to building automation, is when you look at the disruptions in terms of pure digital plays that came in the direction of the industry. You know, think of Nest thermostat as an example, or Ring doorbell, right? The movement of consumer-grade IT technologies into setting higher expectations relative to, call it, smart and connected buildings. So I'm curious, from your perspective, what was the impact you saw from the emergence of such digital technologies? And how do you think this has changed the trajectory of building automation?
Yeah, the impact has been tremendous and has definitely completely reshaped the industry. And by the way, that's common to fundamentally any industry where you had a transition from analog to digital. If you look at specifically in the case of building technologies, I think the transition from analog to digital controls and interfaces, and then transition to connectivity and cloud, has transformed fundamentally the user experience, but also has made a lot of this technology, quite frankly, cheaper and more accessible to be deployed on a larger scale. I think two examples that I would bring that I kind of lived through firsthand and taught me quite a bit are the transition from analog to digital video surveillance that completely reshaped the security industry with the emergence of digital video, and today the dominance of essentially Chinese player, Hikvision and Dahua, in that industry, but also subsequently the emergence of video analytics. I think one of the key characteristics of digital is that you can actually manipulate the information. And that's fundamentally what is at the core of video analytics, right? You can take a video stream and manipulate that information to now provide significant value added. The other example is the evolution from not connected to connected thermostat with the emergence of Nest, which has completely transformed home automation. So again, I think this notion of moving to digital really has helped and continues to help in other industry transform the user experience, but also by lowering cost, it enables a much wider adoption of the technology.
I remember a chart that was running around Silicon Valley several years ago, but it was called the deconstruction of building automation. And it talked about Nest and then talked about all of the traditional players in the various spaces. Of course, you know, Honeywell was there as well. So certainly there's been a lot of people monitoring this space to see how the changes have happened. So look, let's go and jump into Janus International, which you joined in 2022. In addition to leading their corporate strategy, you were leading the Nokē, it's spelled N-O-K-E, business line. So an industrial IoT business that is transforming the self-storage user experience through digitization. Tell us a bit about your role and the focus of Nokē.
Yes, I joined Janus at the beginning of this year, and I have this dual role as leading the Nokē business, as well as leading strategy for the company as a whole. With respect to Nokē, it's a truly interesting set of technologies and solutions. Today, we're focused on self-storage with a focus primarily on the access control kind of application. So we're really transforming and digitizing the access control experience to self-storage. And it is transforming as we speak, both the experience for the tenant, the people who rented these self-storage units, as well as for the what we call the owner-operator, right? So the people who invest, own, and operate these facilities. There are very distinct value proposition for both that are very compelling and, quite frankly, quite easy to explain. The main challenge here is really the technology. The technology is extremely complex, despite what it might look on the surface. It's really an industrial IoT solution at scale, where you're connecting these devices in the field in very disparate environment, because these sites are all very different from each other. Each one is unique. You have indoor facility, you have outdoor facility, you have single story, multi-story. They are located in different weather. So it's quite complex. We have two wireless technologies embedded between Bluetooth and a mesh technology. We have connectivity to the cloud. We have physical product hardware, but also we have a web portal and a few different flavors of an app. So quite complex technology, and getting that right to work reliably, it's really the key challenge here. And my focus has really been the customer, right? Both the what I refer to as the owner operator, as well as ultimately the tenant, right? And making sure that we continue to improve the user experience for both. Ultimately, that's what it's all about. If we can do that consistently day after day, the results will continue to come. We are growing extremely rapidly and have essentially a five-year time-to-market advantage on anybody else because we entered the industry and really developed the first solution almost 5 years ago at this point. And therefore, we have accumulated a tremendous amount of knowledge and lesson learned. And I would say, ultimately, beyond just focusing on the user experience, behind that, when I look kind of within the company and within what we do on a daily basis, I focus on essentially strengthening what I call the 3P, which is people, product, and processes, right? And by making those better day after day, hopefully this will result in superior offerings for our customer.
And speaking of this superior offerings, I'm curious, what have been some of your notable use cases and wins?
Yeah, there are some very interesting use cases here. I think I mentioned, for example, one that has a lot of value for the tenant, right? So for the end user using this solution, which is this notion, well, first of all, they can now go to a facility, right? And essentially access the facility using their mobile phone. They don't need to carry a key. Believe it or not, most self-storage facilities still either require a key or some sort of a combination that you need to remember. You don't need to remember any of that, right? So the kind of ease of use has improved dramatically. But a very interesting feature and kind of benefit of the technology is a key sharing, right? Key sharing means that you can digitally share a key, right, to the facility and your unit with anybody you want, anybody you trust, right? A family member, a friend, or it could be a delivery company, right? And so you can have somebody else going to your unit, right, to drop off something or pick up something. And that's tremendous convenience, right? For the owner operator, it's really about now being able to kind of monitor and potentially manage your entire facility from one place, right? It's all the information, it's at your fingertip. We provide all of that through a web portal. And what some of our customers have done have essentially moved to kind of remote management of the facility, right? Which is considered by many kind of the next evolution of self-storage, right? And so we have really enabled a significant value proposition, again, for both the tenant and the owner-operator.
You spent a fair amount of time on digitization, if you will, in your prior companies and your leading role. You probably got a pretty good sense for both the opportunity and the challenges of digitizing an organization. Think about the cultural aspect primarily. So I'm curious, among your owner operators and your tenants now, how do you know when an organization is ready to adopt your solutions? And what best practices have you seen in them realizing that value?
Yes. And so I think we see two types of customers, right, that adopt our solution today. And I expect this will continue to evolve as the technology becomes more and more accepted, more and more mainstream. But today, fundamentally, you have the customer, I mean, the owner operator who has a business model that really fits well with Nokia and maybe requires Nokia as the enabling technology. And those are the owner operator, as I was mentioning just a moment ago, that are sort of pioneering this new model of remote or virtual management, right? You need to have a technology like Nokia that digitizes and automizes your facility to be able to do that and manage the facility remotely. And then you have another category of customer, which is really what you would call the typical innovators or early adopters, who are essentially very excited about the technology and the opportunity to use the technology as a way to provide a superior tenant experience and as a way to differentiate from the next facility, right? And we've obviously learned a tremendous amount over the last 5 years since we started doing this. And we're now taking that sort of know-how back to our customer and help them maximize the return on investment, right? By helping them either make the necessary adjustment to their operations, their business models, so they can take the most advantage of the technology, or just by helping them kind of explain the solution itself to their tenant, right? So the tenant can be fully trained and educated on how to use the technology. And in some cases, we also help them kind of promote the technology itself, right? How you promote this new digital technology to your end user, right? We do that by helping them explain the benefits, helping them explain some of the key use cases, as we discussed before. So those are some of the best practices that we have developed over time that we're now sort of taking back to our customers.
I like the way that you portrayed that in terms of helping what I'll call the, you know, jump over the cultural, if you will, boundary many times to adopting such technologies as this. And one of the interesting things we've seen is the proliferation of, again, consumer-grade electronics for, call it home security or home monitoring, that have now turned into the basis for remote monitoring of things like Airbnb. And I can see how this raises the expectations for any commercial property that you're a tenant within, right? I want to know if the door has been opened. I want to check the quality of the contents, if you will, you know, in terms of the environmental monitoring, things like that. In some sense, it's raised the expectations all the way around. And I can see the value you guys are providing by helping the owner operators really kind of come up to speed with that as well. Asking you to kind of put your chief strategy officer hat on, in addition to the, you know, the leading the Nokē business line, it seems to us that commercial real estate in general is at a critical, if you will, crossroads. So you have post-COVID remote working, manufacturing reshoring to the degree that's raising more industrial plants or bringing them back online. You have the energy transition, you know, which we're all experiencing, labor challenges. These are some of the, if you will, trends we're watching as Momenta, but what are the key trends you're watching relative to the future of your industry?
Yeah, so I think if I look across buildings and commercial buildings specifically, right, I see a number of trends, but three primarily that I believe are mostly kind of reshaping the industry. So the first one is really, once again, centered around improving the end user experience of what, in this case, I call the occupant experience, right? So the person who actually physically occupies the building, whatever building that might be, how do you continue to improve that occupant experience and make it more attractive for that person to spend time in that building, but also more productive, right? And make it a delightful experience, regardless of the type of use that that building might have. So that's one key trend, right? And there are more and more technology that really do that, either through automation, right? Or digital interfaces that are becoming easier and easier to use and really more delightful. The other trend is really around using digital tools to provide what I would call actionable insights and automation that help building owners and building managers ultimately make the building more profitable, which means find ways to either increase revenue or primarily, in most cases, reduce cost, right? And then lastly, one thing that I've seen that is quite interesting that maybe doesn't get so noticed is the fact that the whole commercial building space is becoming more and more specialized by vertical. And you have accelerated development of vertical specific solution, right? You know, if you have a commercial office building, you have certain type of solution that are tailored to that. If it's an hospital, you know, you have other ones. If it's an hotel, an industrial site, right? I mean, you obviously have some common technologies and solutions that apply to all of them, but increasingly you have specific use cases and then, you know, specific technologies behind those use cases that are tailored to those different verticals. You know, for companies that are focused in the space, it becomes difficult to really be a leader in every vertical, right? There is an element of, yes, you can play the platform strategy and provide sort of cross-vertical platforms, but increasingly, to be truly successful, you have to kind of pick and choose, right? At Janus specifically, we're focused on self-storage, but this, I think, applies more in general to anyone who plays in the commercial building space. So those are the sort of the three trends that I continue to follow more closely.
Good. I like that. So the occupant experience, actionable insights, and vertical solution focus that's in there. It sounds like you guys are pretty well positioned around all three of those, thanks to your leadership. So in closing, I always like to ask, where do you find your personal inspiration?
I mean, it's a little bit of everything, whether it is just my day-to-day work and people I interact with, readings and articles and so on. But mostly, I would say the people that I meet and people who have a passion for excellence and have been able to maybe achieve outstanding results in their own field simply by following a passion and being persistent in what they do in the face of maybe adversity and challenges and setbacks. So that's what fundamentally inspires me the most. When I meet one such person, it really kind of energizes me to do more and continue to carry forward despite what might be a daily challenge, right? Yeah, so those are the things that really I kind of draw inspiration from and kind of energy on a daily basis.
Well, I think you've done a good job of even categorizing yourself in terms of your own personal passion for technology, for learning, your perseverance, as you said. So I appreciate you taking the time to share all of that with our audience today. It's been really great to have you, Alessandro.
Well, thank you so much, Ken, for having me.
So this has been Alessandro Araldi, President, Nokē, and Chief Strategy Officer at Janus International. Thank you for listening, and please join us for the next episode of our Digital Thread podcast series. We wish you a momentous day. You've been listening to the Momenta Digital Thread podcast series. We hope you've enjoyed the discussion, and as always, we welcome your comments and suggestions. Please check our website at momenta.one for archived versions of podcasts, as well as resources to help with your digital industry journey. Thank you for listening.